Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
The church has a set of professional actors who become something completely different as soon as they have an audience. And this isn't just my opinion or observation, but it's biblical. 2 Timothy 3, verse 5 to 6 describes these individuals as having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions. In other words, there are those in the church who act. They pretend to have respect for God, but they don't. They pretend to have a love for Christ, but they really don't. They act like they are filled with the Holy Spirit, but they're not.
You'll never hear them preach the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. You'll never hear them preach the gospel of repentance and holiness. No, they won't preach scripture. Instead, they will rely on theology. They will rely on philosophy. They rely on academics and all sorts of things, but they will never speak from a place that is rooted in the Word of God.
They know the church lingo. They know how to sound good. They have the appearance of godliness, as the Bible says, but they are quite simply pretending. They are acting. In reality, they want nothing to do with God's power. They want nothing to do with a life that is governed by God's word. These kinds of people want nothing to do with a sacrificial life, a life of service to the kingdom of the Lord. The Bible says, stay away from people like these. They are the ones who worm their way into the church pews and backbenches, all so that they can neutralize the burning believer. Be careful of such people. Even though they may look or act like godly people, they're not. And here's one of the biggest clues to help you identify such people. First and foremost, you yourself need the guidance of the Holy Spirit so that He can help you in your spirit to discern such people.
The topic of the last days, or the end times, is always intriguing. And it's amazing that there is a division even in and amongst the church about whether or not we are even in the 11th hour. However, I would like to draw your attention to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3-4. In the Amplified Translation, the Bible says, first of all, know, without any doubt, that mockers will come in the last days with their mocking, following after their own human desires and saying, where is the promise of his coming? What has become of it? For ever since the fathers fell asleep in death, all things have continued exactly as they did from the beginning of creation. Now, if I may ask you a question, how many mockers do we have in this present day? People who do what they want to do out of arrogance and pride. People who think they are intelligent, and in fact they stand to try and reason against the Bible. Because as we've just read, a mocker will question, the coming of the Lord. They will question the promise of Christ's return. They will question the promise of Jesus Christ returning for the church. A mocker will question the validity of God's word and say, "Our ancestors are dead and buried, yet everything is still the same as it was since the beginning of time until now." Yes, we all know about the obvious signs of the last days. We know that men will be lovers of self. We know that dangerous times will come and there will be famines and pestilence and rumors of war. But did you know that mockers are a sign that we are in the last days? People who question the coming of the Lord are a sign.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
That we are close, that we are near.
One of the biggest signs that someone has a form of godliness but no real love or relationship with God is that these types of people tend to never want to inconvenience themselves for the sake of the gospel. They never want to humble themselves. They come alive when they are given a position, when they are given an audience or a platform, but you'll never find them serving if no one is looking. You'll never find them helping if there's no one to give them a compliment. These kinds of people do things so that they may shine in the limelight. It's strategic. It's conniving and calculated. Their Christianity is one that is on full display only when people are watching. But may I remind you that the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 to 24, "Whatever you do, whatever your task may be, work from the soul, that is, put in your very best effort, as something done for the Lord and not for men, knowing with all certainty that it is from the Lord, not from men, that you will receive the inheritance which is your greatest reward. It is the Lord Christ whom you actually serve." So here's what I'd like to tell you. Don't be an actor. Don't be a pretender.
And I need you to understand this because a different translation of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 to 4 says, "Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, 'Where is this coming he promised?' Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." A scoffer and a person who mocks are one in the same thing. But the point is this: one of the clear signs that we are in the last days is that people will come. They will write articles in newspapers. They will write their comments. They will stand and speak to crowds. And they will question, "Where is this coming of Jesus Christ that was promised?" They will question, "Where is Jesus Christ since you Christians keep saying he is coming?" So what should you and I do when we see these things? When a scoffer mocks you and voices his or her disagreement, when they ridicule you, what should you do? Because believe me, they will put up an argument that tries to persuade you to see things from their perspective. However, Psalm chapter 1 verse 1 and 2 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night."
Second Timothy chapter 4 verse 3 to 5 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you will be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry."
There is a great falling away spoken of in the Bible. It's a prophecy that is sad to read. It's hard to swallow. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons." There are those among us who will fulfill this prophecy. Christians today, unbelievers tomorrow. They will say the name of Jesus today, but reject him tomorrow. This verse is clear. The Holy Spirit explicitly and unmistakably declares that in later times, some will turn away from the faith, paying attention instead to deceitful and seductive spirits and doctrines of demons. Be careful you do not fall into this category. Be careful you are not swept away by new teachings, new doctrines that twist and dilute the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you closely look around in the world today, you can see the signs. The apostasy, the great falling away, has begun.
The God of this world has a major influence on the ideals and even the opinions of people. He has a big influence on the hopes and views of people. And it's in a deceptive way that he does this. Here's a trick that the devil uses. He's out desensitizing people from sin. And here's what I mean. If you're sensitive to sin, you will be quick to react and get away from it. But if sin has become your norm and you no longer see sin as sin, then you begin to tolerate it. You begin to accept it and compromise.
2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 3 say, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." The Bible gives us insight that there will be a series of events that will shake the church of God here on earth. This passage of scripture, in fact, the entire chapter, 2 Thessalonians 2, is dedicated to warning us as believers about the man of lawlessness, the son of perdition, or in other words, the Antichrist. And before we go any further, I would like to read the Amplified translation of 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 3, so that we can fully grasp the gravity of what we are being told. The Bible says, "Now, in regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and are gathering together to meet him. We ask you, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly unsettled or alarmed, either by a so-called prophetic revelation of a spirit or a message or a letter alleged to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has already come. Let no one in any way deceive or entrap you, for that day will not come unless the apostasy comes first. That is the great rebellion, the abandonment of the faith by professed Christians, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, the Antichrist, the one who was destined to be destroyed. So, if we are to deconstruct this verse, we can come to the understanding that firstly, there will be a gathering to meet Jesus Christ when he returns. That's in verse 1. Secondly, there will be people speaking falsely, people claiming to be prophetic, who will aim to deceive and say Jesus has already come. That's in verse 2. The third point is that we are warned, let no one in any way deceive or entrap you. That is a clear, indisputable warning to us as believers. It's a clear warning that there will be those who come to deceive. There will be those who come to trap you. It's a warning to all believers. And then the Bible tells us that there will come a time when there will be a rebellion against God, where people who once claimed to be Christians turn their back on the Lord. People who once professed to be Christians will turn their back on the faith. People who said the name of Jesus Christ, they will turn their backs on him, deny him, and walk out of the church. This, I believe, is the effect and result of deception from the Antichrist. And should you look close enough, should you be attentive, you'll see that this is already happening. I believe some will be deceived into walking away, and others will make the choice to walk away because they will be so compelled by sin, so drawn to the pleasure of the world, that they will be willing to enjoy sin now, with no regard for the consequences to be faced in eternity. Now, the message that I would like to tell you today is that you should not be included in this group of people who will participate in the apostasy. This is one prophecy that you should not want to be a part of. Do not be part of the group of people who walk away from the faith. Pray for discernment. Pray for the Lord to pour out his spirit in your life so that you would not be led into falsehood. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Read that carefully. Some will depart from the faith and will choose to devote themselves and pay attention to deceitful and seductive spirits and doctrines of demons. Don't let this be you. Stay in God's Word. Don't accept anything or anyone who contradicts the Word of God. Don't accept anyone telling you that Jesus Christ is not the Messiah, or that he is not the one who holds the keys to life and death in his hands. Because he is the Messiah, and the keys to life and death are in the hands of Jesus Christ. We need to stand on the core principles of the gospel, a gospel that teaches us in John 14, verse 6, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no other way that you and I can get to heaven or get to God without acknowledging that Christ died and rose again. Anyone who tells you that this isn't the case is a liar. We need to stand on the core principles of the gospel. The message of John the Baptist in Matthew 3, verse 2, is still relevant today. Thousands of years ago, he preached the message of repentance, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." That same message of repentance is needed today. God and sin do not mix. Darkness and light do not coexist. One displaces the other. So any doctrine that tells you otherwise will lead you to deception. I pray that you will hold on to 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 14 to 17. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word.
There will come a day when the devil is defeated and destroyed once and for all. There will come a day when Jesus Christ will rule and reign forevermore. There will come a day when we who believe and endure to the end shall be with Jesus Christ for all of eternity. So reject the advances of the God of this world. Do not accept what the world accepts. Do not embrace what the world embraces, but instead only accept the Word of God. Only accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Only accept that there is one true King, one who has the keys to life and death in his hands, and that is Jesus Christ.
One of the most fundamental principles for any Christian is that you should be meditating on the Word of God. And this applies to all of us. A new Christian, young in the Spirit, young in faith, new in their walk with God. This one principle applies to all of us. You need to meditate on God's Word. And regardless of those who've been in the faith for years and years, this principle also applies. Our lives, our inner spirit man, and our souls need to meditate on the Word of God.
The Bible is clear about many things. It's clear that God is a jealous God, and we are not to have any idols. The Bible is clear that Jesus Christ died on a cross and rose again. The Bible makes it clear that there is a heaven and there is a hell. The Bible also makes it clear that there is a day of judgment to come. But one of the things that the Bible tells us to do is to acquire knowledge. Proverbs 18, verse 15 says, "An intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge." Think about what this verse is saying. Those who are intelligent, those who are prudent and discerning, they seek to acquire knowledge. But why? Why is knowledge so important? Well, Hosea 4 verse 6 in the New King James Version says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." Saints, we need knowledge concerning the authority that we have in Jesus, because when you lack this knowledge, there's no way that you can walk in dominion. There is no way you can walk in victory, because you would have no knowledge of who you are in Christ. We need knowledge and wisdom, because a lack of knowledge can result in you being deceived. The Bible tells us that even the devil transforms himself into an angel of light. People with a lack of knowledge will see signs and wonders and think that it's a move of God, not knowing that the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9 in the Amplified Translation, "The coming of the Antichrist, the lawless one, is through the activity of Satan, attended with great power, all kinds of counterfeit miracles and deceptive signs and false wonders, all of them lies." When you have a lack of knowledge, you will believe anything and everything. You'll follow any doctrine, accept any teaching, and be drawn by any miraculous sign. However, to guard yourself against this, the Bible says in Proverbs 1, verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Saints, in order to gain knowledge, you have to invest time. You have to invest effort in seeking the Lord. You have to seek Him in prayer. You have to seek Him in His Word. I believe that there are things, there are lessons and deep revelations that God can only reveal to you once you begin to chase Him with an intensity. Once you commit yourself to seeking the Lord and seeking His presence, God will show up. This is why Jeremiah 33, verse 3 in the New King James Version says, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." So I encourage you to equip yourself with the knowledge that is in the Word of God. I encourage you to sincerely ask the Lord for wisdom. Ask Him for understanding and for knowledge. The Word of God warns us that people perish because of a lack of knowledge. Don't let that be you. James 1 verse 5, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Now,
meditation by definition requires that we focus on one particular thing. It requires us to give our full, undivided attention to one thing. Meditating on God's Word means you set aside all other distractions and we intentionally focus on the Lord's Word. Biblical meditation is you listening to God's voice, especially through His Word in Scripture. Now, whether you care to admit it or not, we all meditate on something. For some people, it's their dreams and aspirations of one day acquiring that big house. For others, it's all about getting their business to increase its profits. There is always something that you are meditating on. Philippians 4 verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." The Bible specifically calls us to meditate on things that are wholesome, godly, and of a righteous nature. The greatness of God and His nature are rich subjects of meditation. This is why David said in Psalm 77, verse 12, "I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds." When was the last time you simply meditated on what God has done? We can so easily fall into a pit of depression when something doesn't go our way. We can begin to recount all the times we've been disappointed and let down. But here's the thing. When did you last spend time just meditating on what God has done? When did you last count your blessings? When did you last spend time thinking of the mercy God has shown you, the grace and favor He's shown you, and the doors He has opened? Now, in this modern day, we have so many things competing for our attention, for our time, for our focus. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Let me draw your attention to a couple of points. We are to meditate on God's word day and night. Secondly, the verse says, "Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." So, meditating on God's word leads to prosperity and success? That's what the Bible says. And here's why we need to take the word of God seriously in every aspect of our lives. The characteristics of the word of God is that it is living. It has life. It brings life. And in reference to John 1, verse 1, "The Word was with God, and the Word was God." And we all know that God is the giver of life. God is the source of life. The source of eternal life, therefore, His Word is living. There are other powerful descriptions about the Word of God in other parts of the Bible. In Jeremiah 23, verse 29, the Bible reads, "Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" These are symbolic descriptions as God likens His word to fire and a hammer. But why fire? Why would God liken His word to a fire? I believe that this is because fire destroys impurities. Refining with flame is one of the oldest methods of purifying metals. And just like how metal can be purified through fire, our hearts, our souls, our impurities are refined through the Word of God. That's why God likens His Word to fire. And when you look at a hammer, and you look at the Word of God being described as being like a hammer, you have to understand that the same hammer that destroys can also build or strengthen and reinforce. The Word of God is like a hammer that destroys evil. It crushes a person's unholy conscience because it is God's very own word. You cannot deal with God and not change. You cannot meditate on the word of God and not be changed. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So the word of God is like a hammer that helps to build faith. Another characteristic about the word of God is that it is like a mirror. James 1 verse 23 says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror." The word of God is like a mirror. And what does a mirror do? It allows one to see their blemishes and imperfections. The word of God shows us the true reflection of what we are to aspire to in terms of being Christ-like, and therefore we can see ourselves and see where we fall short in comparison to His Word. So will you make a choice today to meditate on the Word of the Lord? Will you make it a habit to meditate on the things of God?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way.
See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holidayinstall to get started. Lowe's, we help you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.